The Bible says measure the court or measure the temple, the people who are worshiping in it, but don't measure the outer side because that's the place where the Gentiles are going to have, and they're going to trample the holy city. And I would in the margin of your Bible, you might even write these words if you feel so inclined. It says, "For they shall tread the holy city shall be tread underfoot for 42 months," and I might put in little parentheses more, 42 more months. You know, don't you like it when there's a deadline? I kind of do. I mean, I'll tell you, there are things, when you have a deadline, some of us operate a lot better. I don't know how many of you have gone to college, but when they say the exam is on Friday, most of you wait till Thursday. Amen? Well, I'm telling you, folks, we like to know when the deadline is because it really does have a great deal of motivation. If somebody told you you were going to die in a month or in 6 months, man, that would be some pretty nice knowledge to have. At least you could get your house in order, right? But what about that? We aren't going to have. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. No man knoweth that day, right? I mean, some of us get a little heads up, but for the most of us, it's going to come upon us out of the blue. Well, these guys get a heads up. And they need it, because for 42 months, they're going to endure some of the greatest traumas that have already been depicted back in the last chapter or two. Those seven trumpets are going to take place, and the people of God are going to be persecuted, chased, harassed, and many of them will be converted during this time. But the fact is, they will not be exempted from the trauma of the fire, of the burning, of the poisoning, of all of the things that we've seen that is going to take place during that horrendous time. He says that this city, the holy city, and of course that's Jerusalem, shall be tread underfoot 42 months more, if you will. Verse 3 says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,200 threescore days." Now that's the same as 42 months, folks. In other words, what he's saying, and a lot of folks like to come up with little, you know, tricky little ideas about how to figure out prophecy and all this, and some people have actually considered there might be a mid-tribulational rapture. They like to put these prophets at the first part of the tribulation. Well, I don't think we can do that, because he says that, first of all, they're going to have 42 months to trample the city underfoot. They're not doing that in the first 3.5 years, because it's in the middle of the tribulation that Antichrist breaks the covenant with Israel. And he says that it will be he's measuring his temple, and he's going to set two prophets down there, and they're going to prophesy for that many months. Now, it's not going to show up on the first day that the clock starts ticking on the 7 years. No, 3.5 years in, you got two guys showing up, and they're going to start prophesying and saying that's the Antichrist. Now, it's about that time he's walking in and sitting down on the throne, presenting himself as God, and these guys are going to say, "That's sin, you're wrong," and they're going to be calling him a spade a spade, and they're going to be preaching their hearts out, and somebody's going to say, "Well, why doesn't somebody just shoot him? Just get rid of him." And for 1,260 days, 3.5 years, they're going to be preaching their hearts out. But they're not your common, normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill prophets. The Bible says that these are clothed in sackcloth, because it's a time of great distress, time of great reason for mourning, and everybody ought to get down to sackcloth. You know why they wore sackcloth? Because they realized it was a time to acknowledge the fact that the country was in trouble. And they were in trouble because of their behavior and their sin. Folks, America is in trouble, and it's in trouble because of their sin. And yet, when you arrive at church, what we end up with many times is hip-hop music in the front of the church, and everybody praising God as if nothing's going on. I'm telling you, stuff is going on. We know this. We know that God is on the move. And He's allowing us to be nipped and bit and prickles and stings and hurts and thorns. We're watching our economy crumble. We're watching our morality crumble. We're watching our values crumble. We're watching our world crumble. And everybody's looking at us and saying, "What happened to America?" And it's only been a short time that it's just a boom, 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 boom. God is removing the hedge. Why? Because we've asked Him to. We said, "We don't want you. We don't want you. Leave us alone." He says, "Okay." And we sit back and say, what are we going to eat? No sackcloth in our hearts. No concern. These guys are in sackcloth because they know things are going to crank up They know for the next 3.5 years, things are going to go south in a hurry. Folks, have you really looked at the news? It wasn't just Korea that shot off a nuclear weapon the size of that which took out Hiroshima. They set off two more later after being reprimanded, strongly reprimanded. Boy, we told them, they aren't scared of us anymore. And you had Iran shoot two ballistic missiles that can go 1,200 miles. What's to stop them from aiming at us? Oh, we're strong. We have anti-ballistic missiles. We can shoot them out of the air. We got those Scud busters. You know, we can do it. Oh, yeah? All God's got to do is jam up a button. Just a little circuit. What makes us think God's going to stop it? Well, we're America. That's exactly the problem. It's when we think we have nothing to worry about that we need to take heed lest we fall. He says these two witnesses are going to be witnesses who are clothed in sackcloth. And the Bible says that they are, in fact, the two olive trees and the two candlesticks that standing before God of all the earth. And what does that mean? Well, students of the Word of God know that these pictures of candlesticks and olive trees have been used earlier in Scripture. And we can go there and plunder it in Zechariah 2 in our minds. We can recall that when Israel had been carried away in captivity in Babylon for 70 years, the time of that captivity came to an end. When it came to an end, you had men like Ezra and Nehemiah raised up. And they were raised up to call people to go back home to Jerusalem. And they were to build walls and build the temple and so forth like that. Well, there was some weariness in the work. So God had to send them some leadership. And He sent them one Zerubbabel and one Joshua who stood and motivated the people. One was a high priest and one was a leader of the people. And what we had with those two men was motivation in a time where there seemed to be no reason for it. I mean, the people at one point when they actually set the temple together and everybody was looking at it, the Bible says that there was a cry among the people and there was a rejoicing. And you couldn't tell the cries from the rejoicing. And the leadership had to step up and say, listen, don't weep and don't despise the day of small things. They said, listen, God is in it. Look at the miraculous time frame that you built this thing. Look at how God is with you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it didn't mean, boy, I'm joyful, so I'm strong. No, it meant God smiled on you. And because He's happy with you and He's blessed you in your endeavor, you have strength in that knowledge. Beloved, this morning, do you know God is smiling on you because He's blessing you in little areas of your life where you need it the most? That's how you have the joy of the Lord. It's not about you conjuring joy because you sang 50 verses of the same song over and over again. It's because God is there and meeting you and He's making your way smooth. The Bible teaches in this passage that these are two olive trees. That tells us that they have the Holy Spirit. You see, olives were crushed to make the oil that made the lamps burn. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. They're olive trees, and it goes on to say not only that, but they're two candlesticks, which means they are creating light. They radiate light in a time of very great darkness. These guys are standing up preaching a true word. Well, I don't want a true word. I'm like Pilate. I say, what is truth? God forgive you. We need to know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There is strong delusion in this day, folks. Every time you sit down and watch a movie for an hour and a half, 2 hours, you're letting the world call the tune to the point where you say, well, that's good. Oh, that's wonderful, and I feel better. And you move on down the road. But, beloved, you need to get in your own drama. And your own drama is for all the marbles. It's your life that's on the line and the lives of those you love. The Bible says that He gave them witness. You know why? Because God cares. God gave them a witness because God loves. The only reason there's 7 weeks or 7 years here on the calendar at all is because God loves His people. He loves souls of men. Chapter 7 told us multitudes are going to get saved during the tribulation. And we rejoice in the fact, but we also note the fact that God left the door open for a little while longer before He really, really brought down the hammer. And He gives them a witness right there in the middle of the darkest days this earth will ever know. Jesus Himself called it the times that will be worse than any the world had ever seen or ever will see again. And if Jesus said that, He is not exaggerating. We need to lean in and see what He said would happen. We saw the burning. We saw the bitterness. We saw the bloody seas. And we saw all of the things that God was going to bring. We saw the beasts and all that army coming up out of the abyss and plaguing men. We've seen God saying, I'm letting it unfurl. And yet, all in the midst of that, He's got two witnesses saying, don't lose hope, those of you that threw your lot in with God. Don't lose hope, those of you who've trusted Jesus, Messiah. Don't lose hope, those of you who look toward the Lord. Because He said, look and live, and whosoever believeth on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And they just keep hitting that drum, and the Antichrist hates them. And he will hate them to the point where he will make war with them. The Bible says, but if anyone wants to hurt them, verse 5, fire proceeds out of their mouth, devours their enemies. You say, is there any precedence for that? Yes, Elijah. They came to Elijah. Ahab sent an army out there, about 50 men. He says, you guys go out and get that man. Tell that man of God to come in here. Well, they went out and they said, oh, man of God, king commands you to come. He said, if I be a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you right now. Boom! 50 men, crispy critters all over the land. Next group came out, they were just as audacious, and they said, oh, man of God, thus saith the king, you must come. He said, if I be a man of God, may fire come down and consume you. 50 more men, crispy critters. The third detachment went in there, and the guy went up and said, sir, excuse me. Have mercy on my men and me. We're just doing our job. And he said, I'll come with you. You say, I don't believe all that stuff. Well, that's your choice. You don't have to. But I'm telling you something, folks. This world is full of things that are outrageously amazing. And God never once shies away from telling you what is true. He writes it in His Word that men were burned up with fire from heaven. He writes in His Word that Sodom and Gomorrah was consumed in a day. And He makes no apologies. He doesn't need to prove it to you. He shows it to you. And then He says, this is my Word, and I will come and do that same thing again and again if it need to. God is God. And He never apologizes for what is true and yes and amen. In fact, the Bible is a book no man would have ever written if he could have. Because it tells us of David's failures. It tells us of Peter denying the Lord three times. It tells us all of their warts and all. It tells us that they were men at best. That's all they were. Feet of clay. Sinners. But it's also a book that man couldn't have written if he would have. Because this is a book that tells us that God, He tells us the end from the beginning. He tells us Israel's going to have a temple. And now they're back. They've been there for a while now. And the Bible says this generation is not going to pass away until all be fulfilled. Beloved, I got born at a good time in the continuum, I think. Because if it's 100 years that this generation is going on, I might just get to see the end come. I think I am going to. The more I see things happening in our generation, with spirit eyes I look at things, I read my newspaper, listen to the news, and I sit there, what's in there today? I pull up Yahoo and it says, so-and-so did such and such. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Did you know that Iran just recently deployed some ballistic submarines out there into their Gulf area and their waterways out there? They're already, they got some stuff moving around. They don't care about us anymore. Because we're going down, folks. Now you say, well, that's a negative thing. Well, if you want positive, I've got a few preachers on TV I could direct you to. Now they won't use their Bible, but they'll tell you, you can have your best day now. You can have your best day now. Woo, that's what I want to hear. Now, I got some psychologists to tell you. You're going to be all right. Nothing you're doing is wrong. You got your pick of the cream of the crop, you know, just like the kings did. They'd get good prophets and they'd put them in jail. And they'd take the bad prophets and they'd put them up front and personal and they'd exalt them. You can pick who you want to listen to, but if it's in the Word of God, man, you've got reason to believe. And he says these prophets are going to have that resurrected power to bring fire down from heaven. The Antichrist is going to have his hands full. And the Bible says he's going to bring fire. They're going to bring fire down from heaven. This is exactly what happened with Elijah. The Bible says, and devour their enemies. In verse 5, it says, if any man would hurt them, they must be killed in this way. Why? Because God is saying, hello, I'm here. And this is what I do. He's not doing it for happenstance and for fluff and for impressing. He's doing it for remembrance. He's saying, I am God and I am here. I am on the scene and you need to repent. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 6, they have power to shut the heavens with no rain in the days. That's what Elijah did as well. Of their prophecy, and they have power to smite the waters and turn them to blood. That's what Moses did. And they have power to smite the earth with all plagues. That's what Moses did. And as often as they will, they can do this. Why? Because God's into theatrics? No, because God's into souls being saved. And if you've got the Antichrist coming into his own, God always has a witness. And I'm wondering this morning, are you the witness in somebody's life? Because he cares about people you see. He puts a witness right smack dab in the center of the fire, and they are preaching for 3.5 years. You may have a relationship with somebody. God wants you to win to Christ before the earth turns upside down on its ear and before the rapture comes. Or maybe you're not saved yet and somebody's been a witness in your life and you've been sitting back saying, well, I don't know about that. Y'all are just kind of out there somewhere and I really don't believe all that. In fact,